Oh, yeah. Hello, and welcome to the Gravity Falls Gossiper. I'm Eugene.
I'm Chris.
And today...
this is not the podcast about Gravity Falls. This is about our life and stuff.
Yeah.
And right now...
I'm about to start dancing.
right now...
thanks, Owl City.
Right now, our life is basically all about Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, it really is. If anyone needs... first of all... this is the podcast where we usually watch an episode of Gravity Falls, and then we talk about it, and we tell stories about our life. GravityFallsGosper.com, GravityFallsGosper@gmail.com, GFGosperCast on Twitter, and we're on iTunes or on Facebook. Gravity Falls is right now on a hiatus after 12 lovely episodes, and oh, here it goes.
Here we go. Yeah.
We usually watch Gravity Falls, but it's on hiatus, so this week we decided to go see the Disney movie, yeah. Wreck-It Ralph.
At the behest of
a couple people,
of a couple of our listeners,
and the happy music is now leaving. That is the theme, not the theme. It's like the pop theme.
Yeah, it's like the end credits theme.
Yeah, where they get like a really precocious pop group. It's kind of like in Cars where they had Rascal Flatts sing "Life Is a Highway."
You know, also for I don't know if it was for Cars or if it was for I think it was for Cars too. They had Weezer. Cover
Life Is a Highway.
Life Is a Highway. No, what's that song by the Cars?
Oh, you might be right. No, oh my gosh.
You're thinking of the right song, but that's not what it's called.
You might think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
All I Want Is You. That's what's called. That's what's called.
And it was so good.
I bet it's awesome. Anyways, Wreck-It Ralph is we thought that it would fit well because it's a show it's a movie by Disney. It's animated.
Yeah, Grandpa, it's a show.
It's
we're going
show,
to the picture
it's
show.
A movie picture show. It's about video games, which is something that we know we can talk about.
It's about candy, which we obviously...
oh my gosh. It's so about candy. Way more about candy than we thought. But before we start right now, we're going to say that we will hold off until towards later in the episode if you want. Okay, let's just do it like this. We will talk for a little bit non-spoilery, right?
Yeah.
And then we are going to spoil the living
guff out of it.
The guff out of it.
You might say we're going to wreck it.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it.
So right now we are going to talk about the movie in spoilerily. I was going to say spoilery form.
Yeah.
Because that's an adjective.
The form that we're going to speak in is non-spoilerly.
It's spoiler-free. Really quickly, before we get to Wreck-It Ralph, let us talk about the opening animated short for the next 2 hours straight. first of all, there's an opening animated short called Paper Man. Before we start even talking about what we thought of it, somebody on Twitter mentioned the fact that it has gotten some people were down on it.
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know. Yeah. That was kind of my thing. I was like, I can't imagine anybody being, I was like, well, my response to when we, like one or both of us tweeted about it and somebody replied to us like, oh, I'm so glad you guys liked it. Cause I really liked it. But,
some other people didn't.
Some other people, it's like, it's really been getting some hate on the internet. And I was like, my response was, what kind of brainless and or heartless person would not like Paper Man? So well done. So just it's nice sometimes for things to just be a nice, simple, like here's a nice story. Like,
well, I mean, it's a nice story in the sense that it is I don't know if Disney was the first to do it, but definitely on a pop. Like a popular culture, like zeitgeist way, it tells a story with art, much in the way that Fantasia did it without dialogue or narration, or a lot of early Disney movies did, or films or whatever it was, because they weren't like theatrical movies, but like it is a story that tells everything you need to know with art and with the music that like I thought the music carried so much of that story. And for those who haven't seen it, we're not gonna go into huge detail, because all you have to know is that there is an opening short. It's called Paper Man. It's incredible
and it's great.
But let's talk about the animation in it, which is like, I actually went back and read some of it about it too, about how like how long they've been working.
Well, that
on
was
it.
The thing. Yeah, like when we came out of the theater, that was like a group of us all went to see it, and then like when we came out of the theater, that was like one of the first things we started talking about. And I knew about Paper Man. I knew it was a thing that had been in, you know, in the works for a long time. And like they had talked about how this, which, okay, you said on your Tumblr review that the 3D didn't do much for you.
The 3D in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I was going to ask, was like, but I feel like that 3D in Paperman is...
I feel like I was just so full of emotions that I I didn't even notice if anything was in 3D in Paperman.
So that was the thing, like, I was really paying attention to it because I had heard for so long, like, how they had been working on this process, and I still don't know exactly how the process works. I assume there are a lot of ones and zeros. Now that you mention it,
I actually do remember, like, because what... We'll get to this more, I'm sure, but, like, there was a lot of 3D stuff in Paperman that was like, it's not like cheesy. It's not like, oh, like here comes a train.
It's just a good, like, to give it like a good feeling of depth.
And that might actually have been why I didn't like 3D, the 3D in Wreck-It Ralph, because I felt like they didn't do enough with it. Like, I mean, it'll always give it depth, but like, especially in movies that are so like, I don't even know what to call it anymore. It's not exactly CGI. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Is it?
What?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Just like CGI is the conversational way to say it?
I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's...
I've always felt like that kind of art, like the Pixar-y kind of art, it already has so much, like, depth in it as it is, that, like, the 3D depth is, like, depth on top of depth. So it looks, like, fake on top of the real.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I mean, and, like, look, the movie Avatar, whatever, it was... not my favorite in the world, yeah. But that movie was...
The 3D in it was...
3D in it was amazing because it mixed, first of all, the CGI with the...
Practical.
Humans.
Yeah.
And there was that scene where all the, like, fireflies or whatever were around, and, like, that was incredible. Like, it made it look like you were really there. So maybe Paperman, like, the effectiveness of Paperman made me like the 3D in Wreck-It Ralph less.
Well, see, I didn't feel that way. It didn't affect me... Paperman didn't affect me. It was funny, like...
it's a dumb title.
Paperman?
It feels dumb saying Paperman over and over again. It's like something like you would, like a bad nickname giver. Hey, Paperman! Yeah. Like, just, I don't know.
Well, what we were talking about, though, is that like the process used to make it is a sort of revolutionary new thing they have been working on to try to combine 2D and 3D animation... like in sort of having the computer figure out, having like the computer figure out how to make a 2D drawing 3D,
yeah.
Like and give it depth that isn't actually drawn. Sort of like to take advantage of all these amazing 2D artists who, you know, can't do. Oh, it's not. You know, who or not that they couldn't, but that don't do 3D art and sort of try to give. So my point is, I knew it was coming, but I didn't know it was going to be before Wreck-It Ralph. So it was a nice surprise.
I hadn't heard anyone talk about it either. I was actually wondering.
Do you not go to a lot of nerdy animation websites and forums all the time?
I do not go to nerdy animation website forums, but I remember.
You're not a board member on ToonZone.net?
is that a real?
Yeah.
Is that a real one?
Yeah.
Board member? Oh, you mean board, like message board. I thought you meant like board of directors. I was like,
no.
As I was sitting there, I was wondering if there was going to be an animated short, you know, because like Pixar, there's always an animated short.
I didn't even think of that.
And all of a sudden, our dreams were answered.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Paperman was great. Also, really quick aside, the preview for 3D Monsters, Inc. looked amazing. Like,
see, that's funny. You say that like... That didn't impress me all that much.
Oh man, the scene of
the shot with the doors.
The doors factory. Yeah. I mean, that shot.
That's why they ended on it.
I feel like that shot, even without 3D, is still to this day.
Yeah.
I mean, and we should do this at some point. Well, we should rank our Pixar movies.
Okay.
But is Monsters, Inc. like one of your top ones or is it middle ones?
I don't know, man. That's funny. It's like when we were watching when we saw that trailer, I was going like, oh yeah. Monsters, Inc. I remember this.
Monsters, Inc. is the movie that...
I haven't seen it in forever. Like, and it's one of those...
I have it. You should borrow it.
I've got it.
Oh.
On Blu-ray? I've got it on Blu-ray, yeah.
Man.
But I haven't watched it in forever. Look, man, I just buy Blu-rays to have them. I don't watch them.
Monsters, Inc. is one of the Pixar movies that consistently rose through my list of top Pixar movies the more I saw it.
Yeah.
And it becomes less about... Because, I mean, obviously, it's so much of Pixar's, like, coolness is the fact that you are seeing something that you have a metric for.
I'm still just
hearing. You want to hear Owl City again?
Yeah.
We can take a break and put it back in there.
It's so stuck in my head now.
God, man, at the end of that movie, when that song is playing and all of this like stuff is happening in the credits, I want to live in that moment,
yeah,
emotional moment for the rest of my life. I was so happy. I was like, oh my God, everyone's so happy.
I'm shocked that we didn't just jump up and start dancing.
Oh my God. So anyways, Monsters, Inc., watch it again. I guarantee, especially as you get older, because there's no metric. It's not like you're like, oh, this is what a bug would see. This is what it looks like under the ocean. So like when you first see it, you're just like, oh, this is a bunch of monsters. Like, but like the more you watch it, the more the story really starts to sink. I have a really funny story about Wreck-It Ralph the day after. We went to see Wreck-It Ralph with me, Chris, and our friends Kurt, Joey, and Amy. And Amy is the only girl in our group. That came to Wreck-It Ralph.
That went to the movie.
Yeah. So, nice matinee showing. And
Everybody else has got normal jobs.
Yeah. I had lunch with Amy yesterday, and I was talking about how much I loved Wreck-It Ralph, and she was like, I didn't know if you guys liked it during the movie, because there's like no, you guys are so quiet.
It's because we were all trying not to cry.
And I told her, I was like, we were all on the verge of weeping. We were all like, and we all thought none of the other guys were feeling what we felt until we all stepped outside. We were all like, oh my gosh, I basically cried through that whole movie, and I was like barely holding it together. And we were like, me too.
That was the thing. I wish so badly that I had known that you guys were all feeling that same way, because it was so hard not to.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was like, don't look to the left or right. Just look forward. Don't look, because if you look, they're going to look at you and they're going to realize that you've been sort of crying. And you're just like, you got to hold it together, man. And like, she was laughing because she's just like, you guys
were working so hard not to cry.
Because you guys didn't move and you didn't make noises.
We couldn't.
Like, I thought you were really bored. We're like, no, we were all about to weep. Like, and we all thought that nobody else was. But it turns out we all were like, oh my God, I am so emotional right now.
I got to say, man, like, because I was telling April about it, and I was going like, I feel like this movie could easily, like, it's not just that I feel like it could it, you know, like you said, it kind of fits in so well with like the Disney canon, like it's deserving of its place in like the Disney pantheon. I was like, I feel like this just as easily could have been a Pixar movie, like the quality of everything top to bottom. And most importantly, because there's a lot of movies that come out and can do like the animation well now, and can even get a good solid story.
Yeah. DreamWorks movies look fantastic.
Yeah, they look great. But it's like sometimes they are very much weak on the story, or even if they do put a good story together, it doesn't hit you on that emotional
level. Ice Age 4 looks fantastic.
It looks like they've spent a lot of money on it. But it's like, but it doesn't have that like emotional connection. But that there were so many parts in this movie where, and maybe that's part of it, is that it's like how well this connected with us emotionally kind of blindsided us.
Oh yeah, I don't think any of us were expecting to, not that we expected to dislike it.
Oh no, I was totally expecting to like it.
Really like it.
I did not expect to like it.
I didn't expect to love it.
The different levels that I enjoyed it on.
And it's funny, and we're talking about this too, like, I know that, and for me, who did not read, I've stopped reading news about movies as much as I can and not wanting to know it, unless I'm like, I'm going to spoil this movie because I'm never going to watch it.
Yeah.
I did not know the real core story of Wreck-It Ralph, and I feel like I talked to a lot of my friends who were like, oh, isn't it just that video game movie? And it's like, this movie could have literally, like, they could have found another way to tell the story of Wreck-It Ralph and Vanellope von Schweetz, which I can't believe.
And Fix-It Felix Jr.
They could have told another way where you could remove the fact that they were in arcade machines and the core of the story would still be there.
They could have just done it as a fairy tale.
Yeah. And that's the craziest bait and switch of the movie, is that you come to it thinking that, like, oh, this is going to be about video games. This is going to be awesome because video games are awesome. And then you lose, like, there's a moment in the middle of the movie where you're like, oh man, we've been in this sugar rush land for a really long time, and it doesn't look like we're leaving it anytime soon.
And it doesn't bother you at all.
A totally made-up world with no recognizable characters in it. I mean, look, we all want to see cops that are donuts. Of course we do. Where one guy has the mustache and the little chocolate sprinkles.
Yeah.
But like, it's like, you don't care.
You know what my favorite thing about those donuts was?
What?
The one who's like the tall, who's like an eclair or something. I don't know if you noticed this, but it's like in his chocolate coating, that's like on the front of him, there's a place in it where it's sort of got like a little, it's not even like a crack. It's just kind of like there's a place where it was like a little line of just like imperfectness that they had to put in. Cause it's like, you know, when they frost those things,
yeah,
sometimes there's little like imperfections in it. And I was like, that is such a weird, specific thing to put onto it. But I was like, they put so much, it was like so indicative of how much thought and effort was put into this movie. And I was like, this is exactly the opposite of those other CGI animated movies that just get like sort of churned out. And it's just like lowest common denominator stuff. And like, even though they still
like Ice Age.
Yeah. Like Ice Age 4, where it's technically impressive, but you're also going like,
have you ever seen an Ice Age movie?
Yeah. I saw the first one.
Was it good?
Well, it is what it is.
Little squirrel or whatever.
Scrat.
Wants his squirrel, acorn.
But oh, he's just, that's just like, that's, I know, not,
he's
even,
just like the little mascot.
Yeah, he's not even like really part of the movie. Yeah. The thrust of the movie is
mammoths.
There's a mammoth and a saber-toothed tiger and a sloth.
Sloth.
And I think
they go to Madagascar.
They go to Madagascar. they go to Madagascar to meet Shrek.
Right. Right, to meet Shrek and learn how to ride dragons.
Yeah.
And we won't sully the name of How to Train Your Dragon with those other movies, which I'm sure we will get to that later. But
I'm sorry, I totally derailed your thing talking about
that. No, it was on the same level. What was the name? Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Like, even the throne that King Candy has that his car goes into is like so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like
I have never wanted to live in a movie world more than I wanted to live in Sugar Rush.
All the fans in Sugar Rush, like those like the candy corn and the little wafers and like the gumdrops. Oh, every time they stepped on a gumdrop, I was like, I want a gumdrop so bad.
Oh yeah. I've never been more crazed, just desperate for candy than I was watching that movie.
I wanted gumdrops so bad.
I wanted everything. I just wanted to, like, if they could somehow invent a version of that movie, like when it comes out on Blu-ray, if they come out with a version where you can lick the movie, but you have to buy a special TV and you have to buy a special new kind of Blu-ray player, I will do it.
Yeah, I mean, so the fact that there was a point where I noticed, like, you come to this realization, you're like, oh, wait, they're not going to go to Q-Bert Land. Yeah. They're not going to go to Street Fighter Land. They're just going to stay in Sugar Rush. And then you kind of don't care.
Let's listen to that Sugar Rush song.
Which one? Oh, the...
Sugar Rush.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll take a break, and I'll get the Sugar Rush song.
The Sugar Rush... Look, I liked all the music in this movie.
Also, I want to say this. I downloaded Fix-It Felix Jr. for my iPhone, and it's a good game.
It's fun.
It's a totally good game. It's free.
It's free.
And
it's
fun. Cannot get past level 9. Like, it is challenging to point.
There's there gets to a point in it where I was just like, oh, this is just a quarter muncher. Like, yeah, there's no way.
There's like ducks. Then there's like all the like window sills that you can't get past. Yeah. And then more bricks keep breaking
stuff. They made the game in real life harder than the game in the movie is.
Also, I wanted to see if you can. Well, I don't want to spoil anything. We'll talk about that later. But, so yeah.
You talking about Turbo?
No. Are you about to go Turbo?
From now on, whenever we're about to, when people are getting out of hand, when we're out doing stuff, we're like, if Joe's getting crazy, we're gonna stop and go, whoa, Joe,
you about to go turbo?
Fixing a turbo?
Yeah, like here's the number one problem I have with the movie. There's no arcades in modern time anymore.
No, man. Remember, people have told us that there are.
Yeah, I know.
Arcades.
I'm just saying.
And there's places like. You know, like, what's that place? The Incredible Pizza Company or something. There's those big places where it's like a whole entertainment center.
Like Putt-Putt.
Yeah. Like, that. Like big places where it's like an arcade is part of the thing where you have your birthday party, not just an arcade.
So I'm going to ask you this, all right? Before we move on the story.
When do you think this movie takes place?
I don't know. That's another thing, too. Because, I mean, it has to take place fairly modern because some of those Dance Dance Revolution and things like that.
Yeah, well, and also because they said it was the 30th anniversary of the game. So that would have to put it in the
80s.
Well, it'd have to put it, like in the late 70s, early 80s. It could even be a little bit in the future.
Whoa. I do like how this arcade is still, like, at a highway underpass.
Yeah.
Like, No, you don't open arcade in a nice part of town.
I want to go see it again just so I can try to pay attention to all the things I wasn't watching for before, because like I want to see if Tron is somewhere in that arcade.
I think it is. I thought I saw it. I thought I saw a Tron thing, but I don't even know. Before we talk more about the movie, I'm gonna run down a list of retro arcade cabinets, and you're gonna tell me if you like it or you don't like it.
Cool. Right? Let's do it.
Joust.
Oh,
a stumper out the gate.
Right out the gates. You've ruined this game. I was never good at it. I like the idea of Joust. I liked the art. It was one of those classic games.
I loved Joust.
But like I never played it enough to like really get the hang of it.
Q-Bert.
Same kind of deal. I was never good at it. I do like Q-Bert as a character though. Like
I had Q-Bert on the Atari.
Yeah.
And I convinced myself I liked it. But then I went to an arcade, like a retro arcade in New York or something. And look, I may have been having smile dip. But that game is impossible.
It's hard.
I was like, I couldn't handle it.
I do like I like everything about Q-Bert except how hard it is to play.
All right.
I like everything about Q-Bert except playing it.
Dig Dug.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. Dig Dug was one of my favorites.
That's like, another game. Man, like everything about the aesthetics of that game, like the gameplay, as well as like just the color choices, the design choices. I mean, and even on like such a limited pixel style.
Well, just the color scheme as you go up through the Earth's crust or whatever. Yeah. Which do you like better? Do you like Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man?
I preferred Super Pac-Man.
Oh, the one, like, is that the one with the 3D one?
It's like the same thing basically, but it's like on the cabinet, he's got a cape on like
Superman. Oh yeah. I don't think I remember Super Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I never understood the difference between Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man.
It's a bow.
Besides the bow, there are people that like contend that the strategy is different for the games and Miss Pac-Man is superior.
Well, I mean, it did come out later. So, I mean, they probably did improve some things. But,
Donkey Kong Jr.
Well, that's like, that is a totally different game.
No, I mean,
I thought you were saying in comparison to Donkey Kong. I love Donkey Kong Jr.
That's another game that when I replayed it, I was like, how did I ever play this game? Yeah. He also moves so slow. So when you have to make that one jump to the next vine, and if you don't actually, like, until his leg is, like, on the edge of
the thing,
he just falls to his death. And you're just like, this is stupid.
I don't have the patience for this anymore. I think we were just much more patient with video games as kids because
we didn't have anything else to do.
Well, yeah, and it's like they were still so, like, exciting and new to us. I read a thing recently that was talking about how even though video games have the illusion of being much harder now, some guy was talking about how his kids will play... I remember like listening to a podcast or something where some guy was talking about how his kids play games, or maybe this was an article. I don't know. Point is, it's like
they're just more complex now.
It's more complex, but it's like there's
mainly the mechanics of how to do things,
of how to actually play. It's harder to actually control it.
Yeah.
But the game itself is like simplified for. Like arcade games used to be just there to steal your money.
Yeah.
You know?
They were child casinos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's like, and the whole point of them was like to try to make you spend as much money. But it's sort of like, I guess the novelty factor made you like that it was something new and exciting. There's so many video games, and we're so used to a world with video games in it now that it's not like that same style of game would. People would put up with it for as long. But I remember like this guy was talking about how his kids, if they play a game for a little bit and it's like it's too hard, like they're playing Mario, but like Super Mario or something that's just actually hard to do, they just think they're like, oh, this game's broken.
Yeah.
They're like, something's not right with this game. I can't. Or it's like if something where you die and then have to start over at the end, he was like, they don't understand that at all.
It's funny because I read an article about, I think it was on Killscreen, that it's like a website about video games.
It's a website,
it's a
about,
website
magazines,
about magazines, about website,
about video games.
About websites.
About video game websites.
And they were talking about the concept of coins and one-ups in new Super Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, like... Most of the Super... it was about Super Mario 3DS, right? The 3D one.
Yeah.
They're saying how, like, so much of these levels are based around you you know, going to platforms and then hitting the boxes with the coins or getting the coins. But like, you don't need the coins.
Yeah.
Who cares about the coins? Like, you will get so many one-ups that like it will not matter getting extra coins, and you're not trying to like beat a high score, you're just trying to beat the game. And also you will like run off a cliff trying to get a one-up, when in reality you don't need that one-up. You'll probably have like 32 dudes by that time. It's not like Super Mario Brothers 1 where like every one-up was like, oh
each
my gosh,
desperate gasp for one of those.
And yet we cannot shake the urge to want to get every coin on that thing. And then like in the new Super Mario Brothers DS, which is the one where you're supposed to get like a billion coins, that's your whole goal in the whole game. It's like, well, now there's a goal because they've given it to you, but in reality like those don't matter. And so like that's the evidence of the fact that like games are easier now because you don't need these one-ups, you don't need these coins, you don't need like a clock. Like once, like, do you remember how like you actually would run out of time in Mario Brothers?
Yeah.
And like I
when
can't
that
even...
music kicks in, dun, dun, dun,
oh
dun,
yeah
dun, 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 dun,
I can't even like... imagine in like Super Mario World or any of those games like running out of time because you just zoom through it. You want to get on a cape and just fly, or get your little raccoon tail and fly through the air and then like spin around and you're done. Like that, it, none of those things matter anymore, but they're still there. And we will always like go, oh my God, coins, more time. You know,
do you remember playing like Mario 3 or Super Mario World? And like, I don't feel like people play games like this now. It's like, it used to be just, oh, I just want to get to the end of this level. I'm going to fly over all this other, I'm going to miss all this other stuff. Who cares? I'm just trying to get to the end. The goal is to get to the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, but now you would never like, oh, I can't pass all this stuff. There could be something down there. I have
you
to
need
get.
Like, even in Mario now, you need those like star coins.
Yeah.
You want those star coins because you need the star coins to unlock more levels.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, so it is funny because I definitely still get that jolt of excitement when I see that little green mushroom one up. Even though like I could have literally 99 got lives and I'll still be like, oh, I'm gonna get that one.
I gotta get it. Yeah. I gotta go after it.
So anyways, the bait and switch of this movie is the fact that like you think it's gonna be so like video game heavy, and in the beginning, and I turned to Kurt, who was sitting next to me when they were walking through Game Central, and you saw all those characters, and I was just basically like, this is awesome. Like I was like, if we were 8 years old right now, we would be losing our minds. Yeah. Like I want to know if anyone out there has a kid or is a kid who's seen this, and you are a huge video game nerd. Like, did you like? How does it feel to see this movie as a child? Because I couldn't have handled it.
I would have been so excited. Like I can't. Yeah. Would have been insane just seeing all of those, like, ah,
yeah, or like seeing that scene at Tapper's,
yeah, just seeing those guys hanging out together,
yeah,
it's just like
seeing Ryu from Street Fighter drinking a beer at Tapper's,
drinking a root beer.
A root beer, I'm sorry. I have a question also. What about Tapper?
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, I know I probably played it a little, but it wasn't one that I was.
It's another game I played at the Retro Arcade, and that game. It's impossible.
It's impossible. They're all
impossible. And it was a Budweiser Tapper.
Uh oh.
It was a special one.
Special edition.
They're burger, all just
Burger Time? Yeah, Burger Time. Another impossible game.
They're all just designed to be impossible, man. They
basically
just want,
every Galaga.
Galaga, yeah. I loved Galaga.
I loved Galaga too.
It was impossible. Centipede, same deal.
Hated Centipede.
I love Centipede because you got to play with the.
I hate the trackball.
With the trackball, yeah.
I hate it, and I hate that like.
Because I remember just like you do that thing where you just like smack it to, like when you're trying to get over to the other side in a hurry, all of a sudden, and you just like smack it to send it. The
stupid spiders, man.
Yeah,
spiders. I hate them. Was there a Centipede in this movie? I think there was a cabinet, right?
Probably.
I don't know.
Let's go see it again. We'll be right back.
So, the core story of Wreck-It Ralph, Fix-It Felix, why do you think it resonated so much? Is it because we are bad guys deep down inside too?
No comment. No, there's... Oh, you've really switched gears on me there. I was not prepared
I've brought it down.
Well, I was just not prepared to like shift from just, I was just kind of thinking about like old games and things, but now we're like trying to get into like the heart of the movie. And it's like, I think that, yeah, well, I mean, there's so much stuff in there that speaks to those things of like feeling like you're not being all you can be, or feeling like,
What's going on? What did that horrible...
It won't let me access the Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack so I can download the Sugar Rush theme song.
Why won't it?
I don't know. It's being weird.
You just did that. You just got the other one.
Yeah.
What's happening? What does that say?
Oh, iTunes Store, you're the worst. But yeah,
It's like...
So you're a horrible person is what you're saying. You're a monster.
We are monsters.
But I mean, like, here's the thing that I was thinking at the beginning of the movie is that, like, not only the people in, what is it, Niceland? Is that where they were?
I think that's right. Niceland.
And Wreck-It Ralph at the beginning, they're all kind of jerks. Like, yeah. I was like, you're all jerks. Like, all of you, including you, Ralph, and you, Gene.
How is Ralph a jerk at the beginning?
Well, I mean, just the whole, like...
They just came
in. He's very passive aggressive. You know, the whole penthouse scene. Yeah. You know? There's a lot of like, man, you're kind of being a jerk. You're being a passive aggressive jerk here. And look, I know these people have made you a cake monster with fangs and a horrible face in the mud, but it just was like, I was like, everybody here's a jerk except Felix. But I guess Felix can't really be a jerk. He's so nice.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. All right. Yes. I don't know if this is getting into spoilers or not yet, but so you know that Fix-It Felix Jr. says that he inherited the hammer that fixes things from his father.
Yes.
Yes. Who I assume was Fix-It Felix.
Yes.
What do you think happened to Fix-It Felix? Do you think there was a Fix-It Felix game? Do you think Wreck-It Ralph was a part of that game? Do you think it was the same thing?
Do I think Wreck-It Ralph murdered Fix-It Felix? Is that what you're asking? I have not even thought of that.
Yeah, think about it.
Here's another thing.
No, think about my thing.
I will think about your thing, but while I'm saying this, I'm going to say that in the game, you don't ever get a golden hammer and spin around and fix everything.
He gets it at the beginning. When you start,
like, you don't
game.
Get like the super hammer like they show in the beginning of the movie in the video game that you have on your phone.
No, that the one that you have in the game when he's jumping around fixing things.
No, but there's that like really big power up he gets where like he spins around and just whirlwinds and like
fixes
all at once. You get the pie.
You get the pie, which then makes your
hat super whatever. I don't know. I didn't even think about that. I guess there had to have been a Fix-It Felix. Maybe his dad. I don't want to say anything that's a spoiler.
I thought when is the cutoff point for when we start talking spoilers?
Well, we've been going for about half an hour. Maybe we should take a quick break.
Okay.
And then when we come back from this break, we are going to spoil the guff. We've been holding back probably because we don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
But before we go, one last thing I want to say, and I was walking out of the movie, I was talking to Joey, and I said, I cannot believe, like, and look, I love her.
You can't believe...
But I was like, I cannot believe I'm going to say this.
Okay. Yeah.
But the best part of the movie for me was Sarah Silverman.
Well, her performance.
Her performance as Vanellope von
Schweetz. And her character and the writing. I mean, it's all to do with...
But it was like her voice
acting.
She was
fantastic.
Was my... And like, it's not that I have anything against her.
You hate her.
Right. I hate her. I just never would have thought that would have been the one thing that I walk out with going like, oh my God, Sarah Silverman was so... amazing.
She was not the best part for me, but she was definitely, I was really, really impressed with how good she was. Like how well she did that character. And it, there was like, not even like a hint of, insincerity in that performance.
Yeah. It was so like, it was so great that even when the Twitter, like fictional Vanellope von Schweetz started tweeting at me, I tweeted back at her and told her that I believe that she was born to be a racer.
Yeah. When it was exciting when she started following us.
Oh, yeah. It was totally exciting, even though she says she's official. But I don't know if she's official. Anyways, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a little dance party. We'll be back after this.
All right.
And we're back.
This would have been the perfect opportunity to set the camera up.
Oh, man. Yeah.
A lot of dancing's happening.
I We were laughing about the fact that, like, we don't understand. I mean, we do understand. It was a great movie, but, like, my God, this movie has awoken childlike happiness inside
such,
of us.
Such good feelings that we're not prepared to deal with.
Oh, my God, man. Sugar Rush. Anyways, let's talk about the movie Spoilers Ahoy.
So there's no way I think we would like these songs if they weren't so closely associated with the movie. You know, like,
oh,
if the movie
well,
had
I don't
made
know. That Sugar Rush song, actually,
it's
is
pretty
like,
catchy.
It's, kind of, it's Japanese, so you don't even have to worry about the verses.
Yeah. Just when they start spelling Sugar Rush,
yeah.
I'm in.
Because you're like, I know this language. So you actually caught on to the twist at the end. This is happening in so
many
movies.
As soon as they showed that whenever they were talking about going turbo, as soon as they explained going turbo, what going turbo was, and it was a racing game, I was like, oh, okay. And Sugar Rush is a racing game.
I guess
game.
Like I don't try to think about it because
I don't try to. I wish I didn't do that.
I didn't even think about it. So that when it revealed that he is turbo, I was like,
King
oh.
Candy, you mean?
When King Candy is turbo. I was like, wow, like, I was like, oh, this makes sense, but like, I like that there's an extra twist as to why he's being such a jerk
yeah.
to Vanellope, and I also like the way that it was such a well-written way that Ralph found out that she was not a glitch.
Yeah.
When he threw the metal, was it the metal? Yeah. It was the metal at the screen, at the out of order sign, and then he saw Sugar Rush.
Saw her on the side of the
which
thing,
which led to one of the most emotional moments at the end, where I am starting to get emotional even remembering.
I wish
talking
you guys
about
could
him,
see the look on his face.
Which
right
is
now.
Like where he is saying that the best part of his day is when he gets thrown off because he can see Sugar Rush. My God.
See how popular she is.
Oh.
Oh.
But yeah, and it's really funny because like there's fairly.
I loved the way that they also showed. As soon as they showed Turbo, when they were showing that him running through that other game, Turbo-tastic. Like, as soon as they showed him like that, I was going, oh, I can't wait till they show to see what the 3D
what he looks like
version and, yeah. of that looks like. And the way that they did that with King Candy, you know, glitching, like sort of turning it, like that switching back and forth. And
yeah.
I thought that was awesome the way they did it. And it was funny because they took two so like completely harmless looking characters. But through
yeah,
like
Turbo looks stupid.
Well, it's just like they look harmless. You would never be scared of them.
Yeah.
But it's like the way that they did it, you go like, oh, this is you get why it's scary. Like it feels tense, even though like King Candy is the most like just silly looking. Like he does not look like he'd be threatening
who
at
did,
all.
Who did King Candy's voice?
Alan
Tudyk.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because that does not sound like Alan
He's
Tudyk at all.
He's a good voice guy, man. I could tell it was him after I saw that it was his name. Like I could like play it back in my brain and see him doing that voice.
Yeah,
but
it's a fairly complex. I mean, maybe it's not because maybe kids from when they're like six now understand what code means and all glitch and all this stuff. Because yeah. like that was a fairly like I don't know. I mean, I guess it could have been a lot more hokey than it was with him going into the code of the machine and like unplugging things and plugging in things. But like. It was cool to see like the visual representation of how he
video
was,
game characters would interact with their
memories and things
yeah,
like that,
code.
And why Vanellope was all kind of off to the side. And it was just like I mean, obviously Vanellope was gonna be like I didn't know she was gonna be like the queen. I thought she was just
princess.
Gonna be like or whatever princess. But
get it right. You said you liked this movie.
I hate this movie. God, man. I was cheering for Turbo the whole time. I do like that Turbo also turned into a bug at the end.
Yeah.
Because like for a while, at first, the bug was just like he fell into that vat of, what was it? I don't even know, frosting.
Ralph said what it was. He was like, no, he drowned in the whatever.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly what
but
it
like,
was.
Because they set up a whole
You're
thing
such
about...
such fake fans.
They set up the whole thing about how like they become what they eat, and yeah. I was like, when I saw the bug going through the thing, I was like, surely this bug is eating something right now, and then he ate something and immediately yeah. turned into it. So I was like, oh, I like that he's gonna probably turn into a gigantic turbo bug, or
oh.
whatever, which he did, and it was pretty awesome.
Oh, you think because one of the bugs ate him? And
well, yeah, the way that Turbo dies is that he is driving back towards Vanellope or Ralph or whatever, and his car zooms into the mouth of a bug.
And oh, I completely missed that.
Yeah, the car goes into the mouth of the bug, and the bug starts glowing. And so I was like, oh, man. That's why I was like, oh, man, it's going to be a big turbo bug about to come.
Man, it's like I assumed that was what happened, you know, that he had just gotten eaten. That was the only explanation that made sense. But I have no idea how I could have missed that, because it's not like I, you know.
You stopped watching.
Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden
I was
just.
You were probably crying at that moment.
Yeah.
We were still crying through the whole, like, basically second half of the movie. We were all on the verge of tears the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, my God, man. You just couldn't. You're not prepared to think, like, if we had walked into that movie, right before we walked in, they were going to be like, oh, hey, man, real quick, there's going to be a part where he wrecks a little candy car, and it's going to make you want to cry like a baby.
It wasn't the car. I mean, that was devastating. It wasn't the car, though. It was the medal she gave him. And it was a double punch, because you're like, oh, she gave him this medal. And then he turns it over.
Oh.
And then it says, you're my hero. And I was like, this is so not fair. Because you know.
Don't you do this to me,
you
movie.
You know what he's about to do.
Yeah.
You know that he wants that medal. And now she has this, like, oh, I was just like, this is too much. This is too much. And then you're going to make him smash her car immediately after it. And she's going to start crying and just run away.
It's like you never. They also did such a great thing. I mean, and this is like, you know, like Hitchcock, not showing the actual stabbing, but you feel like you saw her get stabbed in Psycho. You don't actually see him smash it.
You see her reaction.
You see her reaction. You see like a dramatic, like, upshot of him smashing down, and you kind of see pieces fly, and there's the way they do the. This movie was so well done. This movie was, and I can't wait to see it again to, like, try to pay even closer attention to all those things instead of just kind of being completely lost in the magic of it, you know, and like, and how good it is.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, and just watching her reactions to it and the way they cut that, like,
I just want to know how the writers, like,
I want to shake their hands.
I want to know if this was written as like one singular kind of story,
mm-hmm.
because like there's so much weird stuff that happens, like the Diet Cola mountain with Mentos. I was like, was that always in your original draft? Because it's just like, so I was just like, oh wow, the end of this movie is going to focus on a Diet Cola Mentos volcano.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is so weird. Like, even like the Mentos stalactites or whatever. Yeah. I was like, I mean, this is cool. Don't get me wrong.
Diet Cola Mountain.
But this is so, so weird.
The thing that threw me off, like, it was funny. This, like, when she called it Diet Cola Mountain, I was like, why is it, you're in Sugar Rush. Like, everything is like all sugar. Why is it Diet Cola Mountain? And then you get in there and see the thing with the Mentos, and it's like, oh, because it has to be Diet Cola. Otherwise, the Mentos thing doesn't work. Thought that was like, just, it really, it, there's no point to that other than when they said Diet Cola, I was like,
no, I think everybody was like, what? Like, you were just like,
why is it diet? Why is it not just Cola Mountain? But yeah, then it makes sense.
Why is she not allowed to leave her game if she's not really a glitch?
Because
she's unplugged?
Yeah. It's like
she's been made into a glitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
For plot convenience.
Oh, yeah. So the movie can have a reason that she can't just leave.
Yeah.
What did you think about Jack McBrayer and Jane Lynch's side B story? It was pretty effective. Oh, you know what my favorite jokes of the whole movie is? Is when Fix-It Felix is in jail and he hits the bar that starts to break.
And it makes it even better. Yeah. Well, and just the way the anguish in his voice when he says... when he says that thing about, like,
why must I fix
everything
I touch? Yeah, I mean,
oh, and I also loved how he did that. He's like, oh, okay, what is it? What does he say? I'm going to wreck it. And then hits it. Like, it's so cute. Oh, and then Jack McBrayer was so good in this. Everybody is so good in this.
The core four stars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because I guess we do live in an age where, like, Jane Lynch, Jack McBrayer are gigantic superstars because of, like, television and stuff, but, like, usually in a Disney movie there is, like, some, like, huge star that is some sort of voice actor, you know, mm-hmm. and, like, I was, like, looking at the four at the end, I was like, man, it's really cool how these four are, like, they're not like Brad Pitt celebrity.
See, that's always been my biggest complaint with DreamWorks versus Pixar, because it's always seemed like Pixar gets people. Well, I mean, of course, it's like they got Tom Hanks to be Woody. But when they got Tom Hanks, when they signed him on for that movie, he was not as, he was certainly very well known, but he was not like the A-list actor. Like Philadelphia hadn't come out yet. Forrest Gump hadn't, I don't think Forrest Gump had come out.
I don't think so.
It's like, but he was not like the super A-list celebrity that he became. And I feel like Pixar has always cast for people who would really fit the part, as opposed to what I would call stunt casting that like Pixar, like Pixar's, DreamWorks seems like they always sell the movies on, like, you see who's going to be in it on the poster. Like they have like Brad Pitt,
Queen Latifah.
Yeah. You know, like who, like they make a point of mentioning who the voices are in the trailers, and you'll see like their names on the poster, and Pixar never does that.
Yeah.
And I feel like, and for a while there, it seemed like Disney started doing that. Like it had to be
Mandy Moore was in Tangled.
Yeah. It had to be like, you know, Miley Cyrus was in Bolt and like John Travolta.
Oh yeah. Miley Cyrus was in Bolt.
Yeah.
Bolt, which is also an incredibly surprisingly awesome movie.
Surprisingly good movie.
Like Tangled too. If you haven't seen Tangled.
Oh yeah. Tangled also great.
If you haven't seen Tangled or Bolt, these are two movies that are so much better than you think they would be. I mean, look, Disney never lost it, guys.
I don't know, man. Did you see that Home on the Range movie or Brother Bear? Or
no, I did not.
So yes, they did. They lost their way at some point.
But it is it's such a weird foursome of like stars that like
of air quotes stars.
Yeah, well, I mean, because like they're well known, and I mean, I guess Jane Lynch is legitimately a superstar now.
They're well known, but I don't know that any, you wouldn't see any of them headlining a blockbuster live action movie.
Maybe Jane Lynch. I mean, just because of like her hugeness with like Glee. Like
I still don't think it's not, I don't think she could like, not to get too Hollywood here, but I don't think she could open a movie.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that she's
maybe she could.
I think with young kids though, she's a huge gigantic.
Yeah. I mean,
like way more than Jack McBrayer is for 30 Rock.
Yeah,
you know. But it's also like their voices are all so completely different from each other that like it must have just like you could not sell this to Disney, like, or to a studio that isn't already like, yeah, we're so awesome, we'll just do whatever we want to, we'll make it work. You know, like you'd be like, no, we're gonna have John C. Reilly, Jack McBrayer, Jane Lynch.
Who do you think the Sarah cast Silverman. Of this movie would have been if they had done it? If this had been like a DreamWorks or a Sony
oh,
movie.
I don't even know.
We keep kind of like slamming DreamWorks, but it's not just DreamWorks. I think Sony is like, they also suffer from all these kind
of. There is a dream, like we were talking about this on Twitter, joking about it. How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah,
is
the epitome of a movie that ended up being so much better than we,
so much more emotionally better.
Yeah, than we thought it could be.
Because if you also have never seen How to Train Your Dragon.
See it immediately.
It is bring tissues.
You know, and well, you know why that movie's so good, right?
Why?
Because it was directed by the guy that did wrote and directed Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say because it stars superstar
Jay Baruchel.
Yeah.
No,
it's if you like animation, if you are a pet person, oh my gosh, prepare to be devastated by this.
If
movie.
You have If you wish that if you feel like your parents don't understand you, and you wish that they did, you want them to be proud of you.
But I made the joke on Twitter that this is a How to Train Your Dragon situation, because it was just like that's a movie that I saw that I was like, well, I'll see it, and then I like walked out of it a blubbery mess, just being like, that was the most amazing experience I have had in as long as I can remember, and like, you know what's funny is we've barely talked about Wreck-It Ralph, like character Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah. Oh, and see, I like John C. Reilly fine, but he's also a person who I can get tired of really quickly. And I was kind of like from the trailers, I was not looking forward to having him be my main or Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
Of having he and Sarah Silverman be like my main characters in a movie. I was just like really not looking forward to that. I mean, and no offense to either of them, because I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Oh, you should come on the podcast if you're listening.
Yeah, really. If you guys, I'm sure you guys have.
Look, Jack McBrayer, Jane Lynch, you can come on too if you want to.
You can come too.
John Lasseter, I know you're listening and you want to come on.
Yeah, man. But the, I was kind of like not looking forward to it. I was just like, his voice can just like, I felt like it could be tiresome. To me personally, at least. But then, man, not at all. They all like
they all killed it.
They killed it. And it's like they played these parts so genuinely.
Well, I mean, I think a big part of that is I like how we're talking about this in the spoiler section when we're done with our spoilers.
Maybe something else will come up that spoils something.
But a big thing of that is that Rich Moore, who directed it, and then Jim Reardon, who was one of the writers.
They're both people from The Simpsons, yeah.
They're people from The Simpsons. This is Rich Moore's first theatrical film, directorial debut.
Way to go, buddy.
And The Simpsons has a long history of bringing on really strange outside of the cast voice actors and making them sound not like they're trying to really ham it up, you know, like,
yeah.
And so I'm sure they're used to that directing voice. Well, yeah.
Well, it's funny that you'd say that because now we're totally getting off on another thing, but it's like yesterday I saw the episode of The Simpsons that Lady Gaga was on. You know how The Simpsons used to have special guests and they would be playing a character.
Yeah. Or it would be like a joke at that
person's expense.
It'd be like the Lollapalooza episode where they make fun of like Cypress Hill and Peter Frampton's like
and Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
But it's like, so they were playing like a sort of like a comedic version of themselves, but it was like, especially in like the early formative years, it was way more common for them to have like how Michelle Pfeiffer played, that Homer's, that woman who's like the super hot female version of Homer.
Or, I mean, Michael Jackson, the most legendary Michael Jackson.
Even though he was playing Michael Jackson, sort of. But it was like, anyway.
But
layers upon layers. But I saw the Lady Gaga episode yesterday.
What is that from, like, really recent?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was crazy.
Why?
Well, it was like, the story is so ridiculous. And there's all this stuff, and it just seemed to be like there was all these things. She's like really in it though. It's not like one of those just like a cameo things. Like when
she's
they
like a character in the episode.
Yeah, but she is Lady Gaga, and it's like way over the top. And it's like the story is just so kind of ridiculous, not in like a fun Simpsons way.
I bet Rich Moore and Jim Reardon are not part of that, are they?
Maybe
they are. I don't even know.
No,
but no, I think that's a big reason why those voices sound like, because the John C. Reilly's voice sounds so tempered down. He doesn't ever ham it up. Sarah Silverman is never like. Or I guess her voice is just perfect for a kid to play anyways, like the way that she jokes.
Well, she plays it. Well, it's oddly enough, like I said, I was listening to the episode of Professor Blastoff that she was on as I drove over here to stately Gravity Falls Gossiper Studios.
right. Which, I mean, Professor Blastoff, we both are huge fans of that.
That's
podcast.
My favorite podcast, far and away. But I was listening to her and I was like, knew we were going to be talking about Wreck-It Ralph and talking about her performance. So I was listening to her actually talk. And her just talking normally, she is so completely different from Vanellope's voice. So it's like she really was putting on not just the acting part, but she really was putting on like a voice performance. Like, because she really was, unless they just magically made her sound that way with computers, which I doubt. I mean, she really was doing a voice for that whole movie, like, which is pretty impressive to think about for someone who is not a voice actor.
Yeah.
Like,
it's funny too, going up and down the list, you see and Rich Moore, who actually is one of the head guys at Rough Draft now.
Yeah.
And it's funny looking up and down the list, you see John DiMaggio, you see Maurice LaMarche, you see all those guys. I'm sure Frank Welker is somewhere in there. Yeah.
I'm sure Scott Minville and all those other animation
names.
We
are huge animation voice actor nerds.
Yeah.
And we could talk about that all day. Is there anything else that we
have told the story about when John DiMaggio did not buy Kurt and I a drink?
No. You should tell it while I queue up a last dance party.
Okay. A final dance party. So the first year that we went to Comic-Con, We went to the Eisners, and after the Eisners, they have like a they have a party for all the people who are there, and it's kind of like the one of the few spots where you can be just like a regular person.
Yeah,
because Kurt and I had done at that point, we hadn't even done like our original mini comic yet. The only thing we had done was this like one page comic and a video game comic anthology, or anthology of comics about video games, I should say. But anyway, so we're like, and well, this is actually, this is one of those things where your memory, you realize you don't know if your memory of something is your actual memory or you've just heard the story so many times that you feel like you were there.
Yeah.
I feel like I was standing behind Kurt when this happened, but I may have not even, I was there. Cause I remember what it looked like. Okay. Never mind. Anyway, point is we were after the thing, there's a party and we're standing there at the, at like one of the bars that they have. It's like cash bars set up for the after party. And it's John DiMaggio is standing there. And then behind him is Thomas Lennon from the state and Reno 911 and blah, blah, blah. And behind him is Ben Grant, also from those things. The two of them also wrote the Night at the Museum movies.
Right.
And something else.
Something else. Whatever.
That was not the best.
And then Kurt.
By their own design.
Yeah. And then Kurt and then me. And we're standing there in line. And John DiMaggio is like, oh, and I've got, he's paying for his drink. And he's like, oh, and I've got the, and then he just sort of turns, and we're the only other people in line. There's like just the four of us are the only other people in line. And he sort of turns and goes, oh, and I've got these guys. And then he looked and just sort of motioned towards the rest of the line and then looked back at the bartender and then looked back at the line again and saw that these two other people, me and Kurt, had joined the back of the line. And then he was like, oh, wait, no, I've got these guys. Just talking about those two. And there was like that moment of, John DiMaggio's buying us a drink. No, he's not.
he's a big dude, right? Is he really tall?
Yeah, he's tall. Yeah, he's taller than I am. And he's not, I wouldn't go so far as to call him burly, but he is like big.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't really know off the top of my head what he looks like. I mean,
he's
I know,
got red hair. He was on a TV show in the early 90s on MTV. It was like him and some other guy that was like his comedy partner, and it was like one of those things like it sounded like a drive time radio guy, you know, like,
yeah,
I can't think of a good one that isn't
a drive time radio guy.
Where it's like a team, it's like, you know, it's Crazy Carl and the Badger. Yeah, you know, like whatever. Yeah. It was a thing like that. It was like something in Big Red or whatever, but whatever it was.
I'm upset because I was going to get Rihanna's Shut Up and Drive, but it is album purchase only.
Aww.
Oh, I guess we'll have to listen to Owl City again. It's fine. So, closing thoughts, Wreck-It Ralph.
So great. So great. I feel like we have not really... Oddly, I mean, I know we've talked about the movie for like an hour, but I don't feel like we've talked about it at all. I don't feel like we've even, I feel like there's so many things.
We are also going off of the fumes of having seen it like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And when whereas Gravity Falls, we probably would have seen an episode. First of all, it's 30 minutes and then we all probably would have seen it multiple times.
There's not as much to think about.
And I will say this, as of Monday, the box office total domestic box office was around $99 million, which is, I mean, that's fairly good for opening weekend around then. And the production budget is $140 million, so it's gonna make its money back. So at the very least, it'll probably hit 200 by the end of the month.
Hooray!
Yay!
That's good. That means maybe they'll make another one.
Sequel.
That's all we live for now.
Fix It Felix Senior sequel and Wreck It Ralph. Whatever is Ralph. Short for a name?
Ralphingstein.
Oh, yeah. Professor Ralphingstein. That guy is a jerk. You know what we're going to do next week?
What are we going to do?
Well, I guess we're going to do an episode next week. I mean, it's Thanksgiving. Does that matter?
We should do something.
Here's what I think we should do.
Okay.
to get it back on.
I wish you guys could see how dramatically he's pointing at me as he says this. I'm like, oh, this plan is going to be amazing.
To get it back on track of Gravity Falls, I think what we're going to do is me and Chris are going to come to the stately Gravity Falls Gospel Studios. We're going to rank
the episodes,
our favorite episodes, 1 through 12.
Cage style. Like, and to the...
And we will both start at the bottom of our lists, and we will just go up until we both hit number one and see how we differ. Whoever hits a certain episode first, we'll talk about that episode.
Yeah.
And we will just rank our list. So what I want you guys to do is email us your favorite episodes ranked 1 through 12. And look, we know that we love this show.
Yeah.
And we love all the episodes. But, you know, some of them are going to hit you...
Are going to be, maybe you like Halloween more than you like video games.
Just because you put one at that number 12 spot does not mean you don't love it anymore.
Doesn't mean it's bad.
So if you feel like playing along with us, you should send us your list 1 through 12 of your episodes of Gravity Falls season 1 and 2, I guess technically. And we'll do the same. And we'll just sit here.
How do you figure season 2?
Because on iTunes now, like from episode 6 on, it's like season 2. That's what it's listed as.
That's not correct.
I don't know.
I think we should have to also at the end of the episode, we have to crown
the best one.
The best one.
Okay. We will come to an agreement of the top three.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to guess that our number one is the same. I'm going to take a wild guess, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're not. So, we'll do that next week. And then the week after, who knows?
Who knows?
If you guys have ideas, maybe we will watch
Wreck-It Ralph again.
Maybe we'll watch Skyfall. Let's talk about that. Let's do movies just constantly. No, yeah, we'll figure something out, right? Yeah,
sure. Surely.
And guys, when can you see us again? In 1 week.
In 1 week.
GravityFallsGosper.com, GravityFallsGosper@gmail.com, GFGosperCast on Twitter. He's at the Chris Haley. I'm at Huge Warrock on Twitter.
Yeah, follow us. We talk about things.
We talk about things. Some things you may not like.
Yeah.
Some things you may love. Who knows? It's a virtual mystery grab bag. But yeah. And of course, every Friday night, still there's a listing on our website for all the new upcoming Gravity Falls episodes and the ones
that
are replaying.
Of
the replays.
Up, but yeah.
Hey man, watch an old one. Watch your favorite ones. Watch your third favorite one. And your
write some.
One.
Write some. Fanfic. You know, some fanfic. Write. I was gonna say write a spec script, instead of a fanfic. But yeah, do that. Send us some art, man. Draw us something.
And in the meantime, we will
do something creative.
And in the meantime, we will...
Not just for us, for yourself.
Yeah, hey, man.
Just for fun, man. That's what Gravity Falls is about.
Oh, my gosh. That is so loud.
Those kids.
I live on the corner of an apartment complex next to the street, and it's right outside of where a school bus drops off school children.
Yeah, I mean, not that that has... Where you live has nothing to do with where the Gravity Falls Gosper Studios are.
Oh, right.
That's a completely different place.
The Gravity Falls Gosper Studios take place in an elementary school. We are constantly getting...
spitwads.
Yeah, yeah, spitwads. And
notes passed to us.
Oh, man, Devil Dogs. That's such a great joke, man. When they got the Devil Dogs out.
There's so much. I really feel like we have not talked about this movie at all. See, this is the problem. We're using the same format that we used to talk about a 30-minute thing to talk about a 2-hour thing or whatever. How long was the movie?
It was about, I think, total, it was probably around a little under 90.
Okay.
Because Paper Man and the previews, we got out in about 2 hours.
Okay.
So.
It didn't feel long, but it's not like it ever felt like it was too long, but it definitely did feel like.
I'm still mad that I can't play Sugar Rush. I want to play Sugar Rush.
Yeah. I want to eat Sugar Rush. That's what I want.
All right. So we'll talk to you guys next week when we rank episodes. Chris, do you have any last words?
Yes.
Said that in a while.
Yes. Well, you know, this just made me think of that classic riddle about Wreck-It Ralph. And I'm not really going to do a riddle. But
are you healthy?
I'm good. Yeah, man. I'm feeling good.
I feel good, too.
So, of course, when I feel good, my house has leaks in it.
Yeah,
so it's like
that's a euphemism for something about his body.
No, no. It's like if I can't feel if I'm gonna feel good, then something's going wrong with the house.
Well, it's nice to know that we can talk an hour about anything that we should just do an hour on like cookingware or something and just see what we can talk about.
See what we can do.
We just make a like a lottery bowl and just put random words in it.
Oh man. Okay, so what we do is here's what we do. Everybody email in just a topic you want to hear us talk about. And then before we start an episode one day, we're just going to don't put it in the subject line. In the subject line, just put random topic.
Oh, we could, yeah.
And what we'll do is just randomly, we will pick an email at random and open it. And whatever that topic is, we
PG
will try
rated,
to talk about.
Please. Yeah, PG rated.
Obviously.
Obviously.
We're so anyways. I still think we need to also start this X-Men podcast.
Oh, X-Men podcast?
Because how many people we had say they wanted to hear us do that X-Men podcast where we just go through a character's
Wikipedia. Can we just say really quickly, we got an email from Aiden, who was an emailer last week.
Email episode.
We erroneously said he was a girl.
Sorry.
I thought Aiden was a girl's name, although I don't really know. I have no evidence on mine.
I've never met an Aiden to know the difference. So
sorry, Aiden.
Sorry, dude.
Sorry, bro. And we're going to get out of here now. Hey, Wreck-It Ralph, go see it.
Wreck-It Ralph, go see it.
I'm going to cry.